Grace to you, excuse me, grace to you and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. The Bible, certainly everybody here's heard of it, seen one, probably read a good chunk of it. We always think of it as a single book. It's not. It's actually a collection of 66 books we have conveniently put together in a single binding because it's easier to carry around that way, but it's a collection of 66 books written by over 40 authors over the span of at least a couple thousand years, and yet it contains a single, unified, and consistent message that is the history of our salvation. Our salvation is really the end of the story. That's what the last chunk is about. Revelation is often thought of as this book of fear and dread, but it's not for the believer. It's the blessing is coming. Salvation. That's the end of the story. But to really understand the end, you have to go back to the very beginning. The record of our salvation doesn't start with the birth of Jesus, although that is the season we are in and the thing we are anticipating, but it goes back further than that. Though his birth is certainly a very central point in all of creation's history, because everything before that time leads to that moment and everything after that time flows from it, that's not the beginning. Too often we think of the New Testament as the time we live in and our beginning and our scriptures, but it goes back further, and that's what the Jesse tree helps us understand. The Jesse tree helps us see more clearly that deep, greater story that we spent, 2.5 or 3 months talking about leading up to Advent, going through the book of Romans. The Jesse tree is a record of Jesus' history, which means it's also a record of our history. You've all seen trees. They're fairly prevalent in most of the world. Some are big, like those mighty great redwood sequoias, and some are tiny, like little bonsai trees. They can be oak or pine, they can be maple or so many others, so many of them stand so majestically, and yet every one of them started out as just a tiny and small seed. The mightiest tree in the world began as a small seed, so small that if you saw it, you would have taken no notice of it. That's the beginning. Our account begins back at the beginning, way back when the story of salvation first started, first began, was first promised. We read a little bit of the account of creation. It's again very familiar stuff. We've all seen it, heard it, read it many times. You know, it starts in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There's no explanation about who God is, because there is only one, and he created it all. And right there is where the expanse of history of the universe began. And the crown of his creation came on the sixth day, where it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Creation, including the human race, is not an accident or dumb luck chance. It is the very intentional act of the one, true, only, and eternal God. As you read that account day by day, God saw what he had made as he was preparing the creation for the pinnacle of his creation, his own children. And again, you see him say, "It is good." For the man and the woman, God planted a garden called Eden. And there our very first parents, lived a life of harmony and peace with nature and with each other and with God who created them. Sin and sin's effect were completely foreign to God's creation. You know that didn't last, right? And since then, so many have dreamed of, again, living in an earthly Eden, a utopia. Often we dream of being made by our own human hands, but the truth is, only God can create that which is truly good, right, pure, and holy. Only God. I don't believe we can even begin to imagine the beauty that was the paradise of Eden. Because none of us, and neither have any of the many and countless generations before us, even seen a world without sin. But it must have been a wonder to behold. But it wouldn't last. If you hold to, and there's nothing that can really back this up other than just it's just ancient Jewish tradition. It lasted 2 weeks, the week of creation, and then one more week. And that it was on the Sabbath day, the seventh day, when Adam and Eve should have been resting and pondering the words of God, that Satan tempted them. And you and I can see the results of that. Just look around. Look at the world we are in. Look at the mess we're dealing with. Just the major stuff that's in our face, like COVID, right? And all the stuff that's causing. But there's more to it than that. Anybody can just look in the mirror and see what sin does. We see brokenness and sin. We see hatred and lies. We see those eager to spread and inflict despair and hopelessness. All of these things bear witness to what happened on, if tradition is worth anything, on a Saturday in the Garden of Eden. You know what happened, right? Satan, the father of lies, tempted the woman. Her husband stood by and watched. And then with her, they ate of the fruit of that one tree that was forbidden. And we think, that's it? They just ate a piece of fruit and that did them in? Well, there's far more to it than that. Really read the account. Read it closely. What Satan is telling them is, you don't need God. You can be God. You can take his place. You can usurp the throne. That's what he was telling them. And they bought it. I can be God. That never works out so well. That first sin was really in their hearts when they rejected the Creator's love, protection, and care because a seed of doubt was planted and was watered in lies. That seed caused an act that would close the gates of Eden to all humanity forever. I like to, as I read history, try to stand in the shoes. Just imagine what it was like for Adam and Eve, now living outside of Eden, but it's still there. They just can't get back in. There's an angel with a flaming sword ensuring that they won't, but it's still there. They can see it. They can long for it. We long for perfection, but we don't have any idea what it looked like. They lived in it. What loss. What does the Creator, our Heavenly Father, do to those who made such a mess of the wonder he had made? They rejected him. They ignored and spurned his word and his sacred teachings. They sinned against him. Does he reject them? Does he leave them without hope? Does he retaliate and strike them down? That is not the way of the one true living triune God. Scripture says he himself is love. He defines it. And that love reached out to Adam and Eve and to all of their descendants, including each and every one of you here. Our Heavenly Father could not endure being separated from his children forever. So great is his love that he couldn't destroy his creation, nor could he abandon it to the pit that was made for Satan and his demon messengers of death, corruption, lies, and pain. In love, he created Adam and Eve. And in love, he would provide the way of redemption. He would provide the way of escape. He would provide a means back to Eden, free of sin and sin's effect. It was a price that only he could pay. A price paid by the Lamb slain before the foundations of the earth were laid. That's the part that gets to be real challenging. That before he said, "Let there be light," he already knew what a mess we would make. And he had already determined how he would save us. By the King and Emperor of the universe coming down here to walk in the mud of the mess we made and die for us. That's what sin brought. Sin brought death. Any seed will tell you, though, that from death springs life. Though Adam and Eve and all those who came after them have carried the scar and the curse of sin, our loving Creator never deserted us. In fact, far from it, he has not only embraced us, but he actually came here to join himself to us. The very first promise of salvation is given immediately after that first sin. It's the same afternoon. Immediately, the promise that would break the darkness comes. The Lord said to Satan, "I will put hostility between you, Satan, and the woman, and between your descendants and her descendant. He will crush your head, and you will bruise his heel." A point that's often lost in the English translation just because of the way English works is that the descendants of Satan, it's plural, the offspring, the seed of Satan, means all those who are not children of God, those who have rejected his salvation, right? Those are the descendants of Satan as they're referred to, right? But the seed, the offspring, the descendant, one, singular, of the woman, will crush that kingdom. The word for descendant or offspring is the word for seed. Right there it is. Right there shines the love of God through the darkness brought by the prince of lies. There would be one seed, one descendant who would defeat Satan and his lies, which bring destruction and death. That seed, that descendant, would not be the seed of man and woman, as all other human births are. This seed is the seed of the woman, a miraculous and divine conception. The Jesse tree begins with a seed present but dormant in Eve. In love, God remembered his promise through every generation of fallen humanity, though all through all of the destruction and deception and death, that seed was still there. Through generation after generation after generation, that seed promised in Eden was there. And it would remain present, though hidden to human eyes. And then, in the fullness of time, in the womb of a daughter of Eve, in the Virgin Mary, that promised seed would spring forth and grow. That was the seed of the woman promised at the fall, at the beginning. From Mary would come Emmanuel, That word El is short for the Hebrew word Elohim, the same word used to describe the one who created the heavens and the earth. It is the God of creation with us, the God of creation walking among us. That is why we anticipate that birth with such fervor and intensity. That's what Advent is about, the advent of our King, the arrival of the one who made us, the Creator himself joined to his creation in Jesus Christ. That's where you see your Redeemer, your Savior, your champion in the battle. All that was lost in Adam is restored in this seed of the woman. He is the Christ, the Messiah. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one-time perfect sacrifice whose blood washes away the curse of the fall and brings grace and forgiveness to all who call on his name. This is Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Man. This is the new Adam who bears the sins of the old Adam and every human being that follows, including you. He carries all of it right to the cross. And while hanging there, because he is true God and true man, what seems impossible for us to fathom is true. While hanging there on that cross, your name and your face was in his thoughts. Individually. That's why he came. From the tree of Eden would come death to all humanity, but from the tree of Calvary would come life to all humanity. This is the Holy Christ of Easter, by whose resurrection all of the universe is forever changed. This is the Lamb into whom you were baptized to share in his death and his resurrection, which he did for you, so you don't have to. This is the Lamb whose body and blood sustains you and brings you salvation. This is Jesus. That's what this season is about, the seed of Jesse's tree. Through him, the Eden that was lost is restored for eternity through repentance and God's grace. Praise his holy name. Amen.